For a while, anyway. Okay, young people, how many of you have your Bibles with you today? Hold them up high. Okay, you will need to bring your Bibles. That's one of the reasons why I sung that song. Bringing your Bible is important to bring it to church. And we are going to have you use it today. Do you all know what a sword drill is? All right. A sword drill is kind of like a little contest to see who can find the verse fastest. And this morning, the first sword drill is going to be finding my text. Okay? So, the rules for the sword drill. Number one, you hold your Bible up in the air. You have four fingers on one side. You have your thumb on the other side. That way I know you don't have your finger in the middle of your Bible. Okay? Like that. You hold it up so that you're not, don't have your fingers in the middle. You're not getting a head start on everybody else. And when I tell you the text, I'm going to say it twice, and you're going to hold your Bible in the air until I say go. Okay? So even after I give you the text, you keep holding your Bible in the air until I say go. When I say go, everybody tries to find the verse as fast as they can. The first person that finds the verse stands up and starts reading it. Okay? Everybody got that? Okay. 1 Samuel 13. Chapter 13, verse 14. 1 Samuel, chapter 13, verse 14. Go. Whoever gets it first, stand up and read it.
But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath one man after his own heart. The Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord hath commanded him.
Very good. Thank you. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14 again says, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Excuse me. This is the prophet Samuel talking to Saul. And Saul had just disobeyed the Lord in the matter of the Amalekites, and he had not done exactly what God had commanded. And God is telling Saul, King Saul, that his kingdom shall not continue. His son is not going to reign after him. God is going to choose a different king, a different king. This is the first time that we see that there's going to be a new line of kings happen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Ruth. And we're going to see the first mention of this fellow's name in the Bible. The book of Ruth, chapter 4, and verse 16. And Naomi took the child. This is the child that Ruth bore to Obed. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is the first mention of David in the Bible. And this morning I'd like to introduce to you kids the life of David. We're going to be studying about the life of David. Okay? So his grandparents were Ruth and Obed. His father is Jesse. I'm sorry, not Ruth and Obed. Obed, and we don't know his mother's name, his grandmother's name. His great-grandmother and his great-grandfather was Ruth and Boaz, thank you. I didn't look this up before I did all this. Ruth and Boaz, his great-grandfather and great-grandmother. His grandfather is Obed. His father is Jesse. And we are going to be talking about David. Now go back to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel 13. First mention of the book of David in the Bible is in Ruth. It says in our text that the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. What in the world does that mean? You see, before we even actually meet David, we know one thing about him. We know one thing for sure about him. David was a man after God's own heart. That's why God picked him. What does it mean that David was a man after God's own heart? That phrase, a man after God's own heart, it means that David purposed to try his best to make sure that God's will was accomplished in every area of his life. A man after God's own heart means that David wanted God's will to be done in his life. Whether it meant David suffered, or whether it meant David enjoyed it. No matter what it was, whether it was hard for David to go through or easy for David to go through, David wanted God's will to be done in his life. That's what a man after God's own heart means. That's what we know about David right off the get-go before we meet him. And as we are going to be studying the life of David, this idea is the overwhelming theme of David's life. This principle that David wanted God's will to be done in his life, no matter what, is the ruling principle in David's life, all throughout his life. Everything that David did, at least when he was doing right, every right decision that David did was because of this principle. He wanted God's will in his life. No matter if it was hard for him to go through or easy for him to go through, it didn't matter. He had made a decision. He wanted God's will done in his life. He was a man after God's own heart. He followed after what God's heart was. He followed after what God's will was for him. We each have our own ideas, right? Of what would be good for me. What would be good for you? We have our ideas of, well, it would be good for me. Some of you might have this idea that it would be good for me if I had a really nice, shiny new bicycle. My friends would take me seriously if I had a shiny new bicycle. This would be a good thing for me. In fact, it would be good because my friends would take me seriously when I talk to them about Jesus. Now that's an idea that one of you might have. Or a similar idea that any of us adults might have. I need a new truck. I need a shiny new truck. People would take me seriously if I drive a nice truck. Or kids, my friend would take me seriously when I talk to them about Jesus if my bicycle wasn't just so old and dumb looking. Or maybe this is your idea. It would be good if I had really nice toys, because then the other kids in the neighborhood would want to come to my house. And it would be easier for me to talk about Jesus and share with them Jesus if we were at my house. Or maybe your idea is, it would be good if I had someone that would do my homework for me every day. That would make my life a lot simpler. We all have our ideas of what would be good for me. But God's ideas are not, many times, are not what our idea is. What God's perfect will for me is many times not what I think is the best plan for me. David understood that. David recognized that what David thought would be best for David wasn't necessarily what God knew would be best for David. And David realized very early in his life this very important lesson. And as we go through the life of David, we're going to see that this lesson, this principle in David's life, affected every decision that David ever did. And this morning, young people, I would like you to understand this principle. I would like each of you to put this principle into your life. That each of you would make the decision that what God wants for me, for you, what God wants for you is far more important than what you want for you. What God wants for you is far more important than what you want for you. David was chosen to be the king of Israel because he had made this decision in his heart. He was a man after God's own heart. At the time of his anointing, we're going to see that this principle had already been attached to David's heart and life. From now on, David would always make decisions based on what is it that God wants in my life. He's no longer going to make decisions about, well, do I want to do this? Do I want to go out and buy this toy? Do I want to go out and become a rich lawyer? No, David's always ran the questions through, does God want me to do this? Does God want me to become a doctor? Does God want me to become a preacher or a missionary or a preacher's wife or a missionary's wife? Every question that David came up against in life, he ran it through this principle. What does God want for me? Sword drill number two. Where's your Bibles? We're going to see the effect, how David is anointed king here in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Go. Whoever has it first, stand up and read it. Thank you. Good job. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. I'm going to read the whole section here. Samuel is told by God to go to Bethlehem and anoint one of the sons of Jesse king. And verse 2 says, and Samuel says, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. This was the eldest son of Jesse. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. David was chosen here to be king because of his decision that he had already made in his heart that he would be a man who followed after God's heart. A man who followed after what God's will was for him. That is why God chose him, because God knew that there was that heart decision within David. God, young people, God will use you on the basis of what is in your heart. God will use you on what is in your heart not on how good you look. He will not use you on how talented you are, or how much valuable stuff you have, how much money you have. He will not choose you on these kinds of bases. God will choose you to use you, will choose to use you based on how much you love God. How much you love God, and are you willing to let God use you? That's why God will use people. That's why God will use you. How much do you love God? And are you willing to let God use you? Are you willing to let God have His way in your life? David learned this principle early on, I said. We can assume that David was taught this principle by his parents. But the place where it really hit home, I believe, is when David was tending his sheep. David really learned this principle when he was tending his sheep. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and look at verse 8 again. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." David had a job that was given to him by his dad, and that was to be the sheep herder of the family, to go out and take care of the little flock of sheep that belonged to the family. And David did that job diligently. While he was tending these sheep, he learned a few things from the sheep. Number one, David learned that sheep are not smart. Sheep are really dumb. And you know what? Sheep represent people. God uses sheep in the Bible to represent people. That people, when making spiritual decisions, are very much not smart. They make foolish decisions. The Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." David learned that sheep are not smart, first of all. Secondly, David knew that he was the shepherd. David knew that he, the shepherd, knew what was best for the sheep. Kids, do you think the sheep knew better than David how to stay alive? Did the sheep know better than David how to stay alive? No. David, the shepherd, knew best how to keep his sheep alive. He knew where the best water was. He knew where the greenest grass was. And David not only knew how to protect the sheep, but he was the only one of the sheep. He as a shepherd, he was the only one who could protect the sheep from the wolves. David knew best how to take care of those sheep. The sheep didn't know how to do it. The sheep couldn't do it sometimes as far as protection was concerned. David learned as he tended his sheep that he, even though he was a boy, a young man, David learned he knew what was best. He knew what was best for those sheep. He understood that the sheep did not know this. He learned that the shepherd of the sheep always knows best. The third thing David learned while tending his flock, sometimes the sheep did not want to do what the shepherd wanted them to do. Sometimes the sheep did not want to do what David wanted them to do. Sometimes those sheep just got a stubborn streak in their little pea brains, and they just would go a certain direction no matter what David tried to do to coax them to come. And David would have to go after that sheep and pick it up and bring it back to the flock by force. He learned that the sheep sometimes are stubborn and they will just do their own thing. But he also knew that the shepherd knew best. The fourth and last, well, not the last thing necessarily, but the fourth thing that David learned while being a shepherd, he saw and recognized that every time the sheep did their own thing, they got into trouble. Every time the sheep did their own thing, which was contrary to what the shepherd wanted them to do, every time the sheep got into trouble. Every time that sheep wandered off, David had to go get him back. Every time the sheep wandered off, it was for sure that he would get into a situation where he couldn't find his way home, or he was going to get stuck and trapped, or something was going to eat him. He learned these principles. The sheep are not smart. The shepherd knows best. Sometimes the sheep will just do their own thing, and every time they do, they get into trouble. These four things David learned while tending the sheep. There are five possible psalms in the Bible that were written while David was a shepherd boy. Most of the psalms were written after David had already been anointed and after David was actually fleeing from Saul. Every one of these sword drills is a psalm, that's a hint to psalm, that David could have written while he was a shepherd boy. And I want you to notice what the lessons he learned while he was a shepherd boy. Swords ready. Psalm 19:14. Go. Very good. Remember, the overarching principle of David's life was he was going to be a man who followed after God's own heart. He learned that when he was a shepherd boy tending the sheep. Notice what he says. As a shepherd boy, he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." I want to say and meditate on things that are pleasing to you. I want your will to be done in my life. Swords ready. Psalm 23:1. Go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Notice he recognizes that the Lord is the shepherd. The Lord is the shepherd who knows best. He recognized that. If you read the rest of the chapter, we're not going to take the time to read all of the chapter here. But I wanted to point out some phrases from the rest of the chapter. David says in verse 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." The shepherd knows what is best. He recognized that God was his shepherd, and God always knows what is best for David. And then the last phrase, "He leadeth me beside the still waters," in verse 2. God knew how to feed me best. God knows how to give me peace best. Verse 3, he said, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." God knows how to teach me righteousness best. In verse 4, he says, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." God knows how to protect me best. In verse 6, last verse, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." Whose goodness and mercy is going to follow me, David is saying? God's mercy, God's goodness is going to follow me. Why? Because he is the loving shepherd who knows best. David had decided, "I am going to be a man who follows God's will no matter what." No matter what. No matter where it takes him, no matter how difficult the situation. We're going to see later on that David's life was not easy. He went through a lot of difficulties, a lot of struggles, because God was teaching him truths through trials. David's trials here, when he was anointed, were just beginning. David's trials were just beginning. The other verses that we're not going to go ahead and do sword drills with, but the other three psalms that could have been written when David was a shepherd boy are Psalm 39. Verse 5 says, "Verily every man at his best state is altogether vanity." Selah. David knew that his best decisions were vain. His best ideas for his life are not very wise. He knew that God's will was best for his life. Psalm 139 is the fourth psalm that could have been written. And verse 17 says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God." How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. God's will is precious in my life. God's will is the best thing that can happen in my life. And David decided as a young person that I will always, always, always choose God's will for me. Above my own desires, I will choose God's will for me. And the last psalm is Psalm 145. Verse 17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways." David learned this as a shepherd boy. The Lord's ways are always righteous. If I follow God's will in my life, I will always be going down a righteous path. And verse 19 says, "He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him." He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Kids, notice this. When you choose God's will for your life, God will fulfill your desires. Even if your desires were something different, God is going to change your desires into what He does best, into His plan for your life and the direction He pointed it. You're going to, instead of wanting to have, "I wish I had gone down that path, and I wish I had become a doctor." But if you had said, "No, I'm going to do what God says, and I'm going to become a lawyer perhaps, or a businessman, or whatever it is," God is going to change your desires to match His will. After you have followed His will for your life, pretty soon, you're going to be happy that you didn't be a doctor. You're going to be happy that you did what God's told you to do. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him, even if at the time His will looks like, "I don't want to do that. That's not what I desire." But if you obey it anyway, God will change your desires to match His leading, to match His direction for your life. Go back to 1 Samuel 16. David's trials were only beginning. You would think that here, when he gets anointed to be the king of Israel, you would think that all his problems are over. He's the crown prince. Nothing bad should happen to the crown prince anymore, right? Nope, that's not right. You see, David's trials were only beginning. God's anointing here was only enrolling David into a school. God's anointing David here was only enrolling David into God's school. What kind of school was that? David was enrolled in God's school of brokenness. God was going to teach David and give David a broken heart. It was going to be hard to learn to be broken. David's trials were just beginning. Yes, he's anointed the next king of Israel. Wow, what a position. But his life wasn't going to be easy. And if you today make the decision that no matter what God wants me to do, I will do it, That's not a promise that your life is going to be easy. In fact, most assuredly, your life is going to be difficult. Because God doesn't always bring easy things into your life. You know how God teaches us faith best? By difficulties and trials. So if you this morning are willing to say, God, I want to make a decision this morning that I will be a person, a boy or a girl, who follows after your own heart, then I want you to know that you're going to be having some trials and some difficulties. I am not promising anybody a life of ease if they will follow after God's own heart. It will be hard. David was put into the school of brokenness. God was going to grind David's will and David's heart until it was broken and moldable in God's hand. God can use anyone. We know that. He can use anyone a little bit. But He can only greatly use a broken heart. God can only greatly use someone who is broken and moldable. He wanted to greatly use David. And so he had to be enrolled in God's school of brokenness. God had to teach him how to have a broken heart. God had to teach him how to be moldable in God's hand, to be the clay that God wanted him to be. David had chosen, I will be a man after God's own heart, no matter what. And he chose it as a young person. He made that decision as a young person. But he also knew that God was going to bring trials into his life to teach him difficult things, to strengthen his faith. And through every trial, as we're going to see the trials later on, David's decision always held steady. He always allowed God's will to be done in his life. Except in that one area of Uriah the Hittite. Except for that, David always allowed his decisions to be based on what is God's will for my life. He was willing to accept God's choices for him, no matter what happened. Young people, are you willing to make that kind of commitment to God? God can use you, but He can use you greatly if you are a person after His own heart, who says, no matter what, God, I want Your will to be done in my life. Even if it's hard, a hard thing that You bring in my life, I know it's for my good if You bring it and brought it into my life, and I want to choose Your will. God can use you greatly, young person, if you will make this commitment that David made. He was a man who was following after God's own heart all his life. And he didn't waver. He didn't change his mind. David wanted God's will to be done in his life no matter what. Are you willing to make that same commitment? I want God's will, God's purpose for me to be accomplished. If it's hard, if it's easy, it doesn't matter. I will say yes to Jesus every time He points something out that He wants me to do. I want God's will to be my choice. No matter the outcome, no matter if my life is dishonored and disgraced. And we're going to see that David went through some disgraceful times. Why? Because he wanted God to be honored. He wanted God to be honored, even if it meant he was disgraced as a person. Will you make that same commitment? I am willing to let God have His way in my life, every step of my life. And God can use you, young person, in a great way, like He used David. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please.